Hello, this is Robert Richards, and you're listening to The Waterhole, our weekly broadcast, which is now available on iTunes and all major podcast platforms. You can also watch the weekly video broadcast on our YouTube channel. Links in the description. I pray this has been a blessing to you, and if you've enjoyed this message, please share this with a friend. God bless you, and remember, no matter where you are and what you've done, Jesus loves you. Well, praise God, church, get your Bibles out. And if you would, go to the book of 2 Kings. I'm going to try to finish this message today. Maybe, possibly. May not. May get halfway through it and get started all over again. You know, I am here today to preach the Word of God to encourage you, to tell you all about Jesus, to try to get you to grab hold of the power of God. That's my job. And I don't know where each and every one of you are in life. I mean, some of you I know better than others. But this whole message and this whole series that I've been preaching on is all about to try to get you to understand that God has put a mantle on your life, an anointing on your life, that you have a vestment from God to live your life, whatever is facing you right now in life. You are where you are, according to what the Bible says, because that's where the best place in life you should be. That you live right here in this area, you have been born at this time, because this is the best time that you could possibly receive Jesus. That's what the Bible says. You may think it'd been better if you'd have born in another time, but the bottom line is, if you were born in another time, you might not receive Jesus. God's smarter than we are. Can I hear a big amen on that one? And you may think that everything's wrong. You may think that, you know, your life is a mess and your life is in shambles, and you may be thinking, oh gosh, you know, it's just not fair. I got dealt a dirty hand here. But the bottom line is, God has not only knew when you were going to be born, knew what was going to be in you, knew what was going to happen in your life, knew your end from your beginning, and he said, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give them a mantle. I'm going to give them an anointing on their life that then they can live that life when they seek me. And I'll be there, and I'll give you power, and I'll answer your prayers. And anything you ask in my name, whatever it is, I'll do it. Now, folks, that seems pretty simple, doesn't it? But all of us that have been living life for a while know that that isn't always the simplest thing, you know? It's a little more difficult than that. But the thing about it is you have got to understand something. You're already anointed. You already have the power to walk through what you're going through and have victory in it. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were standing in front of the burning fiery furnace, they probably had some thoughts in their mind. There's got to be an easier way than this. Right? But I've said this over and over for years and years. If you want to see miracles, you're going to have to walk through problems. Why do you need miracles? Why do you need God to move if everything in your life is perfect? See, sometimes we pray things that are wrong. Like, oh, we pray, oh, Jesus, I just want to see, but nobody wants to die. All right? Oh, I just want to be as close to God as I can. Well, the closest you can get is heaven. Right? So what I'm saying is, a lot of times our own thoughts and our own prayers were kind of mixed up. And what I'm trying to get you lined out on and is these 7 points here to just say, look, if you're going to walk in your mantle, walk in the anointing of God in your life, there is a way to activate it. There's a way to get it functioning, a way to start seeing God more in your life, okay? And so the first one we went on, and you can go on and go look over the podcast, go to the Waterhole podcast, and all the messages are there. You can go back and listen to them all in full. But the first one is you got to know what you want. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1, it says about it, the story of Elijah and Elisha.
that it says Elisha tried to get Elisha to stay and not go with him. And he said, no, I'm going with you no matter what. You got to know what you want in life. Listen to me, now more than ever in life, being a Christian means something for us American Christians. Now, foreign Christians have been fighting for their lives forever. So American Christians, we've had it really, really, really easy. Our biggest temptations in life were not to get sidetracked with the wants and the cares of the world while others are just trying to live and stay as a Christian. But I'm telling you what, nowadays it's getting more defined. Christians are under more attack right here in the United States. Being a Christian by the way the news media wants to put it out and the liberal people want to put it out that you know, Christians are, we're bad. We're staunch. We don't have any open-mindedness to anything. We want to, you know, we're just stuck in the Bible and we're just, you know, old-fashioned and blah, 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 blah. But bottom line is, I'm proud to be a Christian. I believe what the Word of God says from the front to the back. I even believe the book of maps is right. You know? I mean, it's in there. So, I mean, I just go along. So I guess that's the way it looked like. I don't know. Paul's journey. When it says Paul's journey in the back in the book of maps, I said, I guess this is where he went. But I believe my Bible. And I believe it's true. And I've read the end of the book and we win. So, you know, you're not going to convert me to any other religion because I already have read the one that I know is the truth. Amen? So, but you got to know what you want. And today is the day that we need to stand up and be more vocal as Christians. Today is the day that we need to stand up. And if you're going to activate the anointing on your life, the first thing you got to do is admit you're a Christian. All right? You got to stand up and say, this is what I'm a believer. Just think about how silly that is. In the Bible, we read it over and over, and the believers came together. The believers, this, it says believers, 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 but we don't usually refer to ourselves as believers. I mean, you know, we do in a certain sense, but I'm saying, I don't address you, oh, we've gathered, the believers have gathered here this morning. What are believers in what? Believers that the Word's true. Believers that God's going to move. Believers of what the Word is telling us the promises are, right? We're believers. So it's time to grab hold of that and say, no, this is what I want. This is what I believe. The second thing is you got to be hungry for it. Listen to me. If you just want to snap your fingers and God move and everything just lines up and you don't have to do any effort, well, then I want to tell you something. You're not very hungry for God. People that are hungry for God, you know, you got to have to dig in. You're going to read your Bible. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to learn. You're going to get yourself developed. You need to talk to people. You need to go to church. You need to learn and grab hold of everything that you possibly can. If you're hungry for God, you want to know Him. Listen, I want to know God. I want to tell you all this. I have never prayed a prayer. Listen to me. I've never prayed a prayer that was an earnest prayer to God that I haven't ever seen answered. Now, let me qualify that. Sometimes it took months. Sometimes it took years. Sometimes it took a day. Sometimes it took seconds. Y'all with me? I can tell you that I can't always say the timetable, but I can always say it always came to pass. And sometimes it came to pass so long that I'd already forgot about praying about it. But I can promise you that when you pray an earnest prayer to God and He hears your voice, it's going to get answered. Your attitude should be, wait a minute. It's coming to pass. You may not know when, but it's coming to pass. God's heard my cry. Y'all with me? You got to be hungry. You got to search for the things of God. Look for the things of God. If you're not hungry, listen, you're not going to get anything. The third thing is you got to keep your eyes on the prize. What's the prize? The prize is a fellowship and relationship with Jesus. The prize, listen to me, folks, you're the wealthiest person on the face of the earth if you can hear from God. Forget money. Forget millions of dollars. There's people that have millions and billions of dollars stuffed in the bank than the most miserable people on the face of the earth. I read a story about a very, very wealthy individual worth, you know, just mega millions. But then there was a disease found in every generation of the family, and all of them were fighting for their lives with the disease. Well, all the money ain't going to do you any good. You may get a good hospital room, but that's not gonna cure you. You with me? But to know Jesus, you're the richest person in this world if you know what the Word of God says, you know what the Bible says, and you can hear from heaven. Woo! Man, I'm telling you what, there isn't anything that you're going to face, anything that's going to come upon you that then you can't overcome. That's what makes you wealthy in life. But you got to keep your eyes on the prize. That's the prize. The fourth thing was
that we talked about last week was that you got to get your confession right. You got to get your mouth right. Quit walking around saying, you know, well, I'm so stupid, always make a mistake. I can't ever get anything done right. I mean, it always doesn't seem like everything. Listen, you can gripe and complain all you want to, and it ain't going to get you nowhere. I'm pretty much can be a professional complainer. I really can be, because I'm a real detailed person. I look at things and I can pick it to pieces, and I can complain about a lot. And over the years, the Lord has made me just shut up. And that's usually the way He talks to me: why don't you shut up? And I've had to learn to get my confession and the speech that comes out of my mouth right, and saying, Lord, instead of looking at it and saying, ah. You know, like for instance, Friday, we're just getting ready to get off of work, and I just having to walk over to my truck and look down, there's a hunk of rubber that big right out of my tire. And I was like, it's tired. I didn't want to mess it. I didn't want to change the tire. So I thought, okay, I got two choices here. I can take a chance that I make it home and it didn't blow out. Or, you know, I can change tire now while I'm on the road and can get all the tools out and whatever right there at the job. So being the, you know, person that I am, I decided I'd pull around in front of everybody to watch me change a tire and see how many people come help me. And it worked. But the deal was, I mean, you know, that's just life. That is all I can say, is that's just life. All right? It's just life. What do? You just fix it. You just fix it, okay? But you got to get your confession right. You can complain about it. You can go to God and say, well, why'd the rubber come off my tire? You can say, oh, this shouldn't have happened to me. Woe is me, this and that and the other. But you ain't going to get your, turn your confession around and say, well, Lord, I was thinking, I don't know what's going on, but you're going to bless me. Today I'm blessed in the name of Jesus. I don't go down, I go up. I don't lose a tire, I gain a truck. You know, whatever. I'm just saying, man, I just declare, Lord, I don't go down. No matter what, devil, just understand this. If you pick on me, anything goes wrong, I'm going up. I'm not going down. I'm not going backwards. I'm going forwards. I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. That's what the Word of God says. So I pray about it and don't complain. You got to get your confession right if you're going to activate the anointing of God, because God doesn't move in complaining. God moves in faith. And if what's coming out of your mouth is doubt and unbelief, what's coming out of your mouth is nothing but griping and complaining, you're not going to see God move. But when you get your speech where what comes out of your mouth is, whoo, Lord, I thank you. Oh, dear God, there's some rubber off my tire. Whoo, glory. Lord, you're going to make something happen good, because I just declare I don't go down, I go up, Lord. This is a miracle. This miracle territory, Lord. You say, over a tire? Hey, I'm not losing. Listen to me, you got to understand something. I, just like you, work hard all day long. And if I work hard and I earn money, I ain't going to spend it on a tire when I didn't want to. Now you can say, well, it's just part of business. If that's the way you want to live, fine. I'm claiming something coming. I'm crazy. I'm radical. I'm not going to put up with it, because my Bible says it's mine. I want to walk in it. Are y'all with me? You got to be like that. You got to get your confession going. You got to, because all the complaining in the world doesn't do any good. Now, the fifth thing, and y'all can kind of keep me straight here because I changed my deal, but this is the fifth thing. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 12. This is when the chariots come into to pick up Elijah. And Elisha's watching. It says in chapter 2, verse 12, it says, and Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. Okay. All of us have ways that we do things. All of us have habits, have, you know, ways and means that we do things. Whatever, good or bad, you got them, all right? But when you're going to walk in what I'm talking about walking in, there's going to be some old ways you're going to have to forsake. Are you with me? You're going to be challenged, and there's some old ways and some old thinking and some old talking and some old walking ways you're going to have to quit if you're going to see God move. Because if you're doing the same thing over and over again and seeing the same results happening and it's not getting better, it's getting worse, or staying the same, then the obvious choice is change the way you're doing it. I remember one day, I've always been a curious kid, a curious person. I remember one day, and y'all are going to laugh about this one, but it's a good one. I was looking at one of those bottles of, you know, like the wipes, like you pull out, you know, that feed out, you know, one at a time or whatever. And I was looking down on the inside of it, and it had, the wraps had, rags had gone down inside of it, and it was just sitting there. And I was looking at the way that little hole was cut, and I don't know what possessed me at that moment, stuck my finger in that hole. I don't know if any of you have ever done it. And if you have, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, don't try it. But I stuck my finger in that hole, thinking I was going to feel around and get that rag, and then all of a sudden I realized my finger is stuck. And those little pieces of bent plastic are now got my finger held, and I can't get my finger out. And so I was by myself, so I screwed the jar lid off, you know, and I got it off, and I got my finger sticking at the end of this thing, and so I've got my pocket knife, and I'm thinking about cutting it. I'm like, man, I won't cut my finger, you know. And I just, what I'm saying is I ended up in a predicament. My point is in your life, if you keep putting your finger in that hole and then having to have somebody come get it out, and you keep doing it again, and then you need to quit. Don't stick your finger in that hole anymore. You've got to forsake some of your old ways. You got to be willing to say, Lord, teach me your ways. Teach me your paths. If you get in arguments all the time because of something, you know, that you do or say, quit. Quit doing that. When it's in the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 7, it says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, the son of Zebedee, and two others, and his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. Now, Peter was a fisherman. That's what his profession was. The Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot here, but it gives a little bit of a look into Peter's life here that possibly Peter was getting discouraged because he wasn't seeing things happen fast enough. And he's kind of like, I've had enough. I'm going fishing. Well, he went right back to doing the thing that he used to do. Now, what's funny about it is he's fishing. And so they all said, well, we'll go with you. So they went out and immediately got into the boat. And the night they caught nothing. So he's going back doing the same old thing that he used to do, and he's catching nothing. But he's doing it because, see, it was comfort to him, because that's what he knew, how to go fishing and catch no fish. Every time Jesus came around Peter, he was never catching fish. Right? I mean, that's what it looks like. It looks like the Bible makes Peter out to be a pretty poor fisherman, even though that was his profession. Because every time he's fishing, he ain't getting nothing caught. And then Jesus shows up. And he says, hey, y'all catch any fish? He said, no, we ain't catching nothing. He said, well, put the net on the other side. Well, we heard that story before, right? And Peter put his net on the other side, and they caught fish. He said, oh, it's Jesus. You see, Jesus has to take us out of our situations in life and get us to put the net on the other side so that we can start being productive and start seeing a flow of the anointing and the power of God in our lives. Remember, I'm not trying to teach you to do something that you'll never have a problem. What I'm trying to teach you is to be prepared as a warrior in the army of God, that when a battle comes, you know how to defeat the enemy. That's what I'm trying to teach you. Well, Peter, he had to get his net on the other side. You got to forsake some of your old ways. Some of the things you're doing aren't pleasing to God. You need to figure out what isn't pleasing to God and quit it. I also grew up as a professional exaggerator. You know, somebody would call and say, hey, some cows are out on the road, and I'd go down there and daddy'd say, I mean, we're out. And I said, man, half the herd was out. Well, it was four, you know. But four doesn't sound good. Half the herd sounds good. How big was he? It was the old Mossback. How many doves you kill? Pfft, can't even say. Sky was black. And I just grew up like this. It was always an exaggeration. Then one day, I was over preaching in the county jails, and some people responded to the altar call I gave, and somebody asked me in church that night how many people got saved. And I was like, you know, it's a revival. And the Holy Ghost quickened me and says, you're lying. Say exactly how many it was. And so it broke me. You hear the voice of God speaking to you, something like that, you shut up pretty quick. So then it's one, it's three, it's two, it's five, it's whatever it was, it was. Okay, but you see what I'm saying? I had to forsake my old ways. You got to find out what in your life isn't pleasing to God, and you got to change it. And listen to me, you cannot pray, oh God, change me. No, that's your job. How do you change? If you got to sew your lips shut, sew them shut. We can't just keep asking for forgiveness when we're not willing to really change. We got to change. And no matter what it takes, whatever you've got to do, get it done. I read a story, I think the pastor was Jerry Savelle, but I'm not real sure, in his book that I read years ago, was saying that every time he'd go read the Bible, he'd start getting real sleepy and go to fall asleep. And so he couldn't stay awake while he was reading his Bible. And so he just got so mad about that, he couldn't, no matter where he went, no matter what he sat in the chair or bed, whatever, he'd just get sleepy. So he went into the edge of the bathtub and stood on the edge of the bathtub to read his Bible and said, okay, body, now go to sleep. Okay, whatever dramatic thing it takes, you got to do, do it. You say, well, I just get so sleepy, I just don't understand it. Keep reading it until you do. Get another translation. You got to forsake our old ways. We can't just declare ignorance anymore. It's time for us to find out in life what doesn't please God. And then don't do it. And whatever you got to do to change, change. He'll give you the strength to do it, but you're going to have to be the one that puts your foot down and do it, because he's not going to break your free will. Now, the next one here that goes right along with this, okay, once you've forsaken your old ways, then you have to take ownership of the new way. I don't know that I have really ever been persecuted for being a Christian. About the biggest majority of persecution I think that we've ever felt here at Living Waters Church is just the persecution that we're different than a denominational church. Get accused of being a snake handler. I can tell y'all right now, anybody watching out there, I don't handle snakes. I don't like snakes. I'll shoot a snake, but ain't going to be no snakes in here. All right? And, you know, being extreme or something like that, and you know, that's about the most persecution I would say that I've ever felt personally. Nobody has ever persecuted me for really believing in Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Y'all with me? We don't know what persecution is. We don't know what is going on like it's taking place in the world today. In these places with ISIS going around, and just if you're a Christian, you know, you're gonna die. We don't know what it would be like. We have never been in that situation to be standing in a room to know that you're going to die if you say you're a believer in Jesus. We just saw the shooting take place in Oregon where the man asked them if they were a Christian before he shot them. Okay, so what I'm saying is we're just now seeing the slightest little bit of that, but we've not been persecuted like other countries and other people of different, you know, beliefs have taken place like that. But I want to tell y'all something. You got to take ownership in this day, this immediate day that you're in. You have got to take ownership that you are a Christian. But with that comes responsibility, and that's what we usually don't like. Now, I want to say this. I think a lot of times people don't want to be vocal that they're Christians. Oh, we'll wear a cross, or we'll, you know, maybe put a, if you're really extreme, you'll put a fish on your truck. I never put a fish on my vehicle. Because sometimes I don't drive like a Christian, so I don't want anybody to know what might be there, right? So, but what I'm trying to say is, in taking ownership of being a Christian, I believe, and this is something I want to break in this church, is that a lot of times we get into this religious mindset where we're saying you're a Christian if you're producing. In other words, you wouldn't want to say you're a Christian if you got drunk last night. You wouldn't want to say you're a Christian if you chewed somebody out in the middle of the store. You wouldn't want to say you're a Christian if you're acting ugly and everybody knows it. We say, well, but what I'm saying is if we take ownership right off the bat of it, that we are a Christian, then it changes us. It makes us want to be better. And there's only one judge, and that's God Almighty. And that's not me. I'm the preacher. I just declare the gospel. All right? But when you take ownership that you are a Christian, then there's something that happens on the inside of you. It gives the power, the Holy Spirit power to come on the inside of you and begin to work with you. Because none of us are perfect and we all make mistakes. You're not a hypocrite because you say you're a Christian and you make a mistake. You're just human. Right? I believe it's worse to hide your Christianity than it is to be open about your Christianity. And you're a believer, and this is what you believe, and be making mistakes. Because we're supposed to be a work of grace coming about. We're supposed to be working and moving to get better and better, right? And some things take more time than others. But the attitude with a lot of people is they don't say they're a Christian, they don't be vocal about it, because then somebody's going to say, yeah, well, you're a real good Christian. Yeah, I saw what you did last night, and what you did. And I'm just saying, I don't even care about that anymore. You know, I'm just sick of it. I'm sick of dealing with that stupid religious devil. Person was kind of poking at me the other day, and I said, look, man, the Bible says it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, it's what comes out. I'm really working on what comes out of my mouth right now. So, you know, don't keep poking the bear. You follow me, church? But I'm proud to be a Christian, and I want to take ownership of it, and I want to bring it into my life. Now, another interesting, I'm kind of picking on Peter this morning. It says in 2 Kings 13 that Elijah went and he took up the mantle that had fallen from Elisha took up the mantle that had fallen from Elijah. And oh, poor old Peter, you know, Jesus in Matthew 26, 34, Peter was all big and doing pretty good and pretty bold, and Jesus says, you know, before the rooster crows three times tonight, you're going to deny me. And he's like, I'd never deny you. What do you mean deny you? I'd go to death for you, man. What are we going to do? We'll die together. I mean, he was fired up. And then, you know, he just, I mean, he made it about 30 verses. And I mean, it would have been pretty intimidating. Here come the Roman soldiers. They love to crucify people. Pretty much they knew that's what was going to happen to them if they were caught. And so here comes the Roman soldiers that come into the garden. They're taking Jesus, and everybody runs off and kind of leaves. And, you know, then Peter goes to town, and then the lady says, "Hey, weren't you one of the guys with Jesus, that guy out there?" And he's like, "No, I don't know what you're talking about." And then you know, and then in a minute somebody else says to him, you know, "Hey, you know, hey, weren't you with it?" And then, you know, the third time, person comes up and says something. I love this one. I just love it because I like Peter. It says, he says, and he began to curse and swear and said, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." So he just threw down, right? I mean, he just decides he's going to be the opposite of what anybody would have been following Jesus. He just throws down to throwing, cussing, and "I don't know what you're talking about." And that rooster crows. Now listen to me. The rooster crowed, and it hit Peter, what Jesus said. Right? I just want to say this. You're okay in life. You're okay in life if it brings your heart to tears what you've done. Because you're still alive. There's still conviction in your life. And God can still deal with you. When you don't have any heart anymore, and you've grown so callous, and you've justified your actions, and you've justified what's going on in life, and you can throw it up, and you can do, you know, you've spun this big web that you're living on, and you're not convicted, you're in trouble. You're in some dangerous territory. Because you've hardened your heart so much that then God can't really speak to you. But when you fall on your face and say, "Oh my God, what have I done? Why did I do that again, Lord?" You're in a good place because you're still hearing God. You may not have conquered the problem yet, but your heart still is tender enough and not callous enough that you can hear God. And right there, Peter, that day, he took ownership. He took ownership of it. Listen, if you can say something ugly to somebody and hurt their feelings and walk off from it and just say, they just deserved it. Man, you're getting in a dangerous place, church. You're getting in a dangerous place. If you can just do anything that you know is not what Jesus would do and it doesn't bother you, phew. That's not a good place to be in this day and this time. All right? You got to be checking your heart continually. Again, I'm not talking about you're perfect and you do everything right. I'm just talking about you got to look at that heart of yours. You got to look at your heart and see, is it got some spaces of being tender? Peter took ownership right then, that moment. And then the next time you see Peter say anything was Acts chapter 2, stepping up in the middle after the Pentecost Sunday had come, the Holy Ghost fell. You see Peter standing up preaching and getting 5,000 people saved. Why? Because he took ownership of who he was. Peter was still imperfect. Peter still had problems, but he took ownership. And he came to this place that the place that he really was comfortable was on his knees before God saying, "Lord, you got to help me." And what I'm saying today to step up and you got to take ownership of this life you're living, it's just, this is what I'm talking about. The ownership is what makes your heart tender towards Him. And if you're not like that, folks, listen, you got to get that away. You need to be falling on your face saying, "Lord, you know, I'm just gotten hard-hearted." Hello. Y'all with me? Did I hurt your feelings? Everybody got real quiet all of a sudden. Well, I got one more. Y'all want me to keep going, or as I've already. The last one here. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 15. It says, now when the sons of the prophets who were from Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him. They bowed down to the ground before him. And they said to him, look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let us go and search for your master. Perhaps the spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some other mountain or some other valley. And he said, you shall not send anyone. But when they urged him till he was ashamed, he said, okay, we'll send him. You know, right after I got saved, you know, it was in 1985. I had the experience of Jesus coming down and touching my heart when I was in a barn about contemplating blowing my brains out. And I was radically saved, you know. I mean, I knew I was different. I knew I was changed. I knew that something on the inside of me, man, was totally different. I began to read my Bible for the very first time. And I began to see it alive. I began to see it real. I began to see the words meant something to me. They jumped off the page to me. When I read it, it wasn't just a story. And I'd been raised in church. So anyway, it wasn't too long after that. I was still working as a carpenter, and I was busting shingles off a roof of a house. And a man came up to me that I knew. He drove up there and drove up, and he was an older gentleman. I knew who he was, and got out of his truck and started walking up there. And as soon as that man got out of the truck, the Spirit of God spoke to me on the inside of my belly and said, be careful. I just heard those words, be careful. Well, when you're standing up with a grubbing hoe on a roof tearing off shingles, you know, and you hear the Spirit of God say, be careful, you're usually thinking about you're going to step on a nail, fall off the roof, fall through the roof, something of this nature. You're not thinking about it's the person. And this guy came, he walked up on there, and he had this book with him, big old book. And he walked up on the roof with me, and he said, I understand you just got saved. And I said, yeah, I did. And he said, well, that's great. He said, I'm really proud of you. You know, that's really a good thing. He said, but I just want to help you get started on your journey in life right. And I've got a book here. If you read this book, it'll explain all the things that are contradictory and wrong with the Bible, and it'll help you understand what really God's plan and will is for your life. All I heard was wrong with my Bible. And so, of course, I'm fresh saved, okay? I'm green, fresh saved, don't know anything about sanctification or talking right or anything else. So I just told this guy, you know, in kind of flowery speech, that to get off the roof. I didn't want to have anything to do with him because there wasn't nothing wrong with my Bible. And he said, well, see, son, you're young. You're just getting started. You don't understand this. I said, look, my Bible, this is where my fight was. I said, my Bible on the front of it says Holy Bible. And it either is a Holy Bible or it isn't a Holy Bible. Mine says Holy Bible. I don't know what your Bible says. And there ain't nothing wrong with my Bible. So get off the roof. And so he didn't want to. He kept arguing with me. And so I got a little more forceful with him and told him to get out of there. I didn't want to ever see him. There was nothing wrong with my Bible. All right? And so this person then went, and another person I knew had gotten saved that time, and that guy read the book, and it messed him up for years. My point is that you got to be determined in life that you can't be talked out of this course with God is alive and going to move in your life. If you're going to take on and try to walk in a new life, in a new way, under the anointing, you don't need to be reading a book that's titled When God Says No. Because I'm telling you, God says yes. You don't need to be reading a book that's contradicting everything that I'm preaching to you out of the Word of God and what the Word of God says. And I'm asking you to take my word for it. I'm asking you to look at the Word and see it for yourself. But why get involved in this stuff? I don't want negative Nelly standing around me telling me that God isn't going to move just because they're basing it off of some experience they've had in life. Huh? Some experience they're basing on, or some crazy professor that taught them something or whatever. I don't even want to talk to them. I don't want to argue them. I used to want to argue with them. I used to want to prove my point to be right. Nowadays, I don't even care. I'm sorry, maybe I've hardened my heart in there, but I'm just like, if you're so stupid to believe it, just believe it. God doesn't answer prayer for you. Glory to God. Just stand over there, shut up, and leave me alone. You go do whatever you want to. But as long as I'm pastor of the church, this is the message I'm going to preach because that's what I see in the Word of God and I know to be true. You with me? Because listen to me, there'll be somebody standing around to tell you all the time that the God that you're believing in, that you're seeing to move and work miracles and signs and wonders in your life and have the anointing of the testimony isn't going to do anything for you. There'll always be somebody standing around to tell you that. They're everywhere. They're under every bush. But you have to take, when you've taken ownership of what's yours and you're reading your Bible and you know what's true, then folks, listen to me, you got to stand on it.
I just thought about it. Heard a guy. He was here in church years and years and years ago. He wanted to give a testimony. He was giving a testimony. He was going through and he was reading in Galatians about the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh. And he's talking about it. It came to the word long-suffering. And he said, oh, this one, I've got this one in my life, but I've been suffering long. And he was serious. And so I didn't have the heart to tell him that that isn't what long-suffering meant. He said, oh, I've got this in my life. I've been suffering long. There may be some things in the Bible that we've misread that you're believing for that really isn't right. But the Holy Ghost has a way of making all that work out. You with me? He has a way of making it all work out right. And I'm just telling you, you have to be determined. And you have to find it out for yourself. Listen, don't take my word at it. Go read your Bible and find it out for yourself. Find it out just like I found it out. Come to know this God of love and compassion, this God of mercy, this God that wants to work in your life, that wants to move in your life every day, that wants to walk down the aisle of the grocery store with you and show you what's the best deal to buy. So, well, I'm not going to trouble God for that. You're missing it. You're missing it. My wife the other day was trying to buy some new dishes, needed a few plates, and she was shopping, and then this lady walked up to her and said, because she was praying, she said, Lord, this is not what I'm trying to find. I just need something else. It's not really what I'm looking for. Lord, what? And this lady comes walking up to her and says, sweetie, I just want to tell you that if you looked outside, they got some plates on sale right outside. And Laura walked outside, and the exact one she was looking for right there on sale. Tell me that ain't the Holy Ghost. You see, but if you're not expecting that, or you're not looking for that, or you're not walking that, you're not ever going to have that blessing. Are y'all with me? This is what I'm talking about. A daily living, every day, every moment, happening. You're getting ready to leave the house, and then got that little quickening in your heart. No, I need that. I should bring that. I don't know why, but I think I need that. And you go back in the house and get it, and then later on that day you found out you needed it. It's the Holy Ghost. That's the supernatural living I'm talking about. Remember, I'm not trying to get you to see burning bushes and flames of fire coming down and lightning shooting out the end of your fingers. I'm talking about a living relationship with God. When you wake up in the morning, He's talking to you. When there's a stinging scorpion on the bed, on the floor right there, and He says, don't step there. You know, our friends Wynn and Gwen from Wales, Pastor Wynn, you know, they had never seen a stinging scorpion until they came out here. And boy, we got them. That year having to be a bad year, and they were like standing on Mark 16, you know, we'll tread upon serpents and scorpions and over every power of the devil shall not hurt us. Because they thought they were like the black ones in Africa that'd kill you if they stung you. You know, we're like, just a stinging scorpion. Step on it, everything. You know, it could have been a bear. They were that terrified of them, you know. That's what I'm talking about, that kind of a life. You take ownership of it, and then you get determined nothing's going to take it away from you. Amen? There's nothing that can take it away from you.
Now let me read you one last scripture. Acts 27, verse 21. I think it kind of sums this whole message up. The Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 27, verse 21, it says, "But after a long absence from food, then Paul stood up in the midst of them." This is when they're out on the boat. The storm was there. And he said, "Men, you should have listened to me." I love that. I love that. Told you so. He said, "Men, you should listen to me and have not sailed from Crete and incurred the disaster and loss. But now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, to whom I belong and whom I serve." I want you to have that confidence in your life, that you can walk with the mantle of God on your life. And you can say, "Man, I know in whom I belong and whom I serve. I know in what I've believed. And I'm standing with Him, and He's going to see me through." Amen? Amen. Well, close your Bibles. Stand up if you would. Now, I want to encourage you. Can I have my prayer team come down? I want to encourage you that, listen, whatever you may be walking through right now, good or bad, whatever is going on in your life, whatever's taking place in your life, I just want you to know God has an answer for you. All right? He has an answer for you. And like we prayed at the first part of the service in John 14, and if you ask Him, He's heard your prayer. And you may need to listen. You may need to find another way or whatever. But I'm telling you, God has got a good plan for you. Look at the person beside you and say, "God's got a good plan for you." And I want you to know that He hears your prayers. He hears your cries. And I want you to know that if you're watching this program or listening today, I just want you to know that if you're out there and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, the Bible says you just call upon Him and ask Him. He'll come into your heart. He'll touch your heart. He'll bless you. He'll save you. He'll forgive your sin. And all you got to do is call out upon the name of Jesus and ask Him, say, "Jesus, come into my heart." Folks, if you're in here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not sure if you died you'd go to heaven, well, folks, don't leave this building. Don't walk out that door without having that assurance in your heart. You can come right up front here, and these people will pray with you and lead you through a prayer, and you can have that confidence, have that born-again experience come into your life. And you can be changed, and you can live with that confidence and that victory in your life. Amen? So take the person's hand beside you. If you have any other need of prayer, we're here up front to pray with you. But I'm going to bless you. And I'm going to believe that this message settles down in your heart, gets all over you, changes you. So Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just pray over every person in here. All those that are watching and listening, I just declare today that, Lord, the power of the living God comes upon each and every one of them. And these seven principles of walking in the anointing become alive to them, Lord. That they take on their mantle, that knowing that You're with them, and that they see You move in their lives. Lord, I believe You to touch them. I believe You to deliver them. I believe You that You answer every prayer that they have need of. I stand in agreement with them today to see miracles work in their lives. And Lord, I praise You for it. I thank You for it. Bless them as they go, and let us have that good word to tell others out there in the world, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you. We're here to pray for you if you need us.